there must be patience in the process. God takes us through a process. We live in an instant society. You know that. We want everything now. We don't want to have to wait for anything. And even when it comes to ministries, you know, people get impatient. They want to jump, you know, at the next opportunity that seems to be good. There are a lot of things that are good, but they're not the right thing for you. There are all kinds of good things that we can do, but there's only the right thing that we should do. And the right thing is what God is specifically telling you to do. I mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again, but the devil is good at enticing us with good things. He presents good things to us. He simply wants us to obey him. It's not that it was a bad thing, it was the wrong source. And if we go to the wrong source, we're in trouble. As soon as you start listening to the wrong voice, you're in trouble. Even if it's a good thing. We've all made decisions thinking it was a good thing. And maybe it was even a good thing that you were doing. But only to find out that it was not God's thing for me. And so God has to take us out behind the shed sometimes to give us an attitude adjustment and to kind of reorient us, you know, and give us proper perspective. I remember, you know, and most of us here have gone beyond the teenage stage, maybe well beyond it, but, and if I looked at you, I wasn't picking on you today, but when we were teenagers, we kind of like, we had it figured out, you know. Our parents didn't have a clue. I know that I'm right and they're wrong. And like the old song goes from the Birds, I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. And so life is a process of maturing. And in the process, we've got to be patient because God is patient with us, first of all. But we also need to be patient with each other in the process. And we need to also understand that we need to have much patience when it has to do with making decisions, especially when it has to do with your, in fact, in all of your life, but especially with your spiritual life. And the things that you decide to do for God. You see, we can get caught up in working for God and forsake walking with God. We can be so busy working for God that we're not even walking with God. And it, from the very beginning, it's always been about you and I walking with God. And out of that walk, works follow. We will have good works, but if we don't have the walk and we don't know His voice, then we can get caught up into performance and into doing good things that are just not the right things for us. And now we have been distracted, and the enemy is a thief, and he knows how to steal the better thing. He will offer you a counterfeit. He'll offer you something lesser to rob you from the greater. There are men in the pulpits that do not belong in the pulpits. There are people in the pew that belong in the pulpit. There are people in all facets of society. How many know that God wants us to be salt and light wherever we are? Amen?
Amen.
Wherever you work, wherever you find yourself, that is your assignment, that's your ministry, to be salt and light. It's not all about revolving around the church thing that we do. The purpose of the church is to equip you for the work of the ministry. And the best way that we can equip is by pointing you to a relationship with Jesus where you know Him intimately, where you know His voice, where you hear His voice, and you do what He says. Because when you do what He says, you come into agreement with His word is good. And when I agree with God, I'm opening the way for the grace of God to come. And your life will be filled with Jesus. It will be fulfilled in Him. So, The message of the world is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Get it now. Get it all now. Get what you can now, because who knows how much longer we've got. Come on, how many know that mentality has really swept America? Party, 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 because tomorrow we die. Who knows, they might drop the bomb tomorrow, but we're going to party like the old song, 1999. Boy, that's an old song now. And all those years that they're waiting for the end, or even though it was not probably what they really believed, in a sense it was, they've wasted years, wasted time, opportunities where we could bear fruit unto eternal life. All of you, we have a time frame called life. Very quickly it goes by. We don't have time to monkey around. Amen? We don't have time to play a guessing game. We need to get a hold of God. We need to know what His voice is to me. What His Word is saying to me. What is God saying to me? I need to know His will. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. Jesus said, those who do the will of My Father abide forever. We've got to be careful, because the same mentality that has crept, that is in the world, has crept into the church, where we have a get it all now, eat, drink, and be merry, just preoccupied with this present life to the degree that we've been choked from bearing any fruit that lasts. Are you with me? And the Lord is spanking America because He loves His people, He loves His country, He loves His church, in hopes that we will turn back to Him and remember where it all came from.
Yeah. Yes.
Folks, I've been as guilty as any one of you out here about getting caught up in stuff. Being distracted. The devil's constantly trying to distract us by good things. God's not telling us to completely shut yourself out from doing anything in the world or having any pleasure in the world. What He's trying to say is that you need to get your priorities right here.
Yes.
You need to seek Me first. And you'll find that the more that you seek God, the more that the rest of that stuff doesn't even matter anymore.
Right.
Isn't it true?
Yes.
You come to the place where all I want to do is love and serve God now. He weans you off of lesser things so you can have greater things for eternity.
Amen.
He wants to bless His kids. He wants to give you an inheritance. But we have to agree with God. We have to come into agreement with His counsel. The very lie from the beginning was that you're missing out on something. God's holding out on you, Satan was telling him, you know. The grass is always greener on the other side. We don't realize sometimes that what we're in right now is so blessed, and so we're in a place where all of heaven is made available to us right now in Christ. It's not on geography. It's not based upon geography. I mean, about me moving here, moving there. If I just move in a new location, get in a new church, get in a new situation, everything's going to be great. I mean, know that if you don't find contentment within, you're not going to find it anywhere. And your contentment is not going to come based upon everything in your life being just right. Just the way you like it. Contentment comes from the Lord. He's your peace. There's a place of rest in the Spirit where it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You can be in a place where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's contentment. It's called rest. And that's why we are not to be anxious, Philippians 4:6, for nothing. We're not to be anxious at all. We're not to be concerned or worried about our future, about our life. Anxiety is not in God's vocabulary, amen, in the sense that it has nothing to do with His nature and His character. And you and I, as His children, amen, need to walk in the same rest that God makes available. Where is it at? In Him. It's always about being in Him. It's always about walking in Him. It's always about abiding in Him. If we can just learn to abide in Him. And when we start to get into the place of rest in Him, then we start to hear clearly His voice. Then we start to make rational decisions based upon the wisdom and the counsel of the Lord. And then we're not making so many mistakes because we're listening to the right voice now. Because as soon as we get into the place of anxiety, come on, anxiety is a form of fear. We start messing up. We start making hasty decisions. I got to do something. Well, God promised me this and God promised me that years ago and nothing seems to be happening. Does that sound like Abraham? So I've got to make something happen. Maybe God forgot. The Bible says that Abraham believed God. He did believe God. But then over a period of time, things did not happen according to his understanding, according to his time reference. Isn't it true that we all have our idea of how our life should go? But once we said yes to Jesus, when Jesus came into our lives, when we became born of His Spirit, we become children of heaven. Once that happens, it's no longer according to my timetable. It's no longer according to what I think is best for my life. I don't even own myself. I'm His property now. And so as His property, it has said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to walk and rest. Not in stress. And as I walk in the rest of God, just, my yoke is easy, Jesus said. My burden is light. So if it's a heavy yoke, folks, you need to question, whose yoke is it? Is it the devil's yoke that he put on you? Did he give you a false burden? Did he tell you, take all this stuff on you? You need to do this and you need to do that because you're not doing well enough for God to accept you yet. Or we just put it on ourselves. Yeah, you're right. I guess I'll take on all this stuff, this responsibility. And, you know, a walk of faith is a simple life. It's a simple walk. If you take a look at Jesus' life, He didn't have a complicated life. Jesus didn't walk in a complicated way. Amen? It was very simple. I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I see my Father, hear my Father speak. He walked in rest, in assurance, because He knew He was in the Father's will. Jesus didn't panic. And neither should we. Why? Because we've been given the same access to the throne of grace. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. But He became like you and I. He became like Adam in the likeness of sinful man without sin, though. And He laid down everything He had. He stripped Himself of all that He had at His disposal to become like you and I, to fulfill all righteousness, to live a life of obedience, and to demonstrate to us what it is to walk in peace with the Father, to have peace with God. So we need to have patience in the process. God Himself is patient. James 5:7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. God has been working in you, working in me, getting us ready. God's dropping seeds in you all the time. Never get weary in well-doing. Continue to sow in the Holy Spirit. Continue to feed on the Word. Amen. Continue to praise and worship the Lord and walk with Him every day in obedience. Continue to sow in the Holy Spirit. Sow in the Holy Spirit. A farmer goes out and he sows seed and he doesn't see results right away. We need to be patient in the process, because the day comes when it begins to sprout and it breaks through the hardened soil. Amen?
Amen.
And life, there's evidence of life. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
There's evidence.
Yes.
Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. It's not blind faith. Real faith produces results. Your life will bear fruit if you're walking by faith.
Amen.
And the way you do that is by simply abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ. Worshipping in the Spirit. Philippians 4:11, Paul said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am." How many know that one? To be content. He didn't say automatically I was content. He said, "I have learned." I mean, you know, it's a process.
Amen.
We are learning how to draw water from the wells of Yeshua. We're learning how to abide in the peace of the Lord in oppositions. When things happen in our lives that naturally should produce anxiety, we have a resource in the Lord. We have a well, a fountain of life, amen, we can draw from and find a refreshing on the inside that's going to override anything that's happening on the outside. Because it's a well of water springing up. Amen? If you're not standing on the inside, you're not going to stand on the outside. And the only way we stand is in Christ. Some of you need to let yourself off the hook. You've been striving and working. Well, I'll try. Quit trying. Just do it.
Amen.
Christ has already set you free. Just do it. You don't even have to try. You just do it. How many times have we said that? I'll try. Well, I'm struggling. Yeah. Quit saying I'm struggling even. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Christ has given me grace for the battle. Amen. For the journey. We need to be patient, folks. I'm telling you, I've seen too many times. You have maybe too. Maybe in your own life. I have in my life. Where when I've gotten into anxiety, I've made wrong choices. I've gotten ahead of God. I've done things because I thought God wants this, expects this of me, and I. Have you been there?
Yeah.
That's not rest. God says, "I just want to be with you. Come on, hang out with me, and we'll do this thing together. Sit down for a spell, rest beside the still waters. Amen. Get restored. Here, there's a refreshing for you with me." And then we'll get up and we'll walk together when it's time. Are you with me? There's liberty. There's freedom in the Lord. It's simply like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do today? He may not say anything. Don't panic. They say, okay, I'm going to go get a Burger King breakfast. I didn't have to fast and pray for that and get a word. Like some people are so spiritual, you know, they get it in the word for everything. But I don't know. I just haven't discovered the Lord talks that often to me, but maybe I'm just not spiritual enough. Or maybe I'm not listening. But there are, you know, there are people that try to wow you with their spirituality. And usually if you whittle away all from the surface of that, it's all about them wanting to look spiritual so that they'll get the accolades of men and say, "Wow, aren't you something?" Whereas if we go back far enough, we'll find ourselves in the same pit with everybody else. In the miry clay that we need to be redeemed. Amen? And ministry is not a result because I'm so righteous. Ministry is a result of the fall. You got to do ministry because we're in a fallen world. It's just a reminder of the mess we're in. Amen? Not so I can go around with my plastic hair and my Hollywood smile and... That ain't happening anyways, right? But it's about making Jesus famous. In Luke 8:15, Jesus talked about the sower that went out to sow, and the word of God was the seed, and the hearts, and the soil were the hearts of men. And I just want us to take a look at the soil that bore, the hearts that bore good fruit. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with... There it is. They bear fruit with patience. How many know that mature people are patient people? A sign that you are maturing spiritually is that you will have a patience to be able to endure things that you wouldn't when you're a kid. You know, a child can go berserk because they didn't get a lollipop, you know? I mean, the world is coming to an end. They didn't get a lollipop. Because a child is a child. They're immature. But as we grow up and we start to eat solid food and we start to realize that, you know, I need to start taking care of myself. I can't live on lollipops all the time. I need to start filling myself up with good things, with good food and good drink. Amen?
Amen.
I need to take care of myself so that I'll be a productive, reproducing adult. And I'll be a blessing to others. That word patience means cheerful or hopeful endurance. Constancy. Patient endurance. How many have received promises from the Lord? We need to have patience to the promises of God. Genesis 15:1, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." God always comes with a promise. God always says that I'm going to be with you and this is what's going to happen. Just walk with me. But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you have given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can." That's how many descendants you're going to have. And it says in verse 6 that Abram believed the Lord. The promise came. We all say, amen. Sometimes God speaks through maybe a prophet over your life. Be careful, by the way, of what people are speaking in your life. Because if it's a word from the Lord, it's going to bear witness with your spirit. But the Lord will speak to us in different ways. Maybe through a dream. Sometimes visions. He speaks to us most of the time through His Word. As we're reading the Word, the Lord will highlight something. The words will come off the page. The Lord will speak. Pay attention. The Lord is trying to say something to you. And the Lord will give you a promise. But then comes the process of getting you and I ready for the promise. You're not automatically ready for the promise. The promise is future, amen? It's something that will be, but you're not going to enter into that until you're ready for it. So this is where we have to learn how to find contentment in God, how to draw from the resources of His grace and to say, you know, the most important thing for me is to know Jesus. Just to know Jesus. Not to do all this stuff for Jesus, but to know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, you know His voice. And when He speaks, He'll tell you to do stuff. He'll tell you to pray for people. He'll tell you to witness to people. Amen? He'll tell you what to do. But it's not going to be about me having to make something happen.
Right. Amen.
It's God's going to do it. You see? Our anointing, see, we can do a lot with our anointing, is really the works that we do in His name. The things that we can do based upon our anointing in His name. But then there's the glory of God. There's the place of rest where you're entering in now to a place where God's doing it. Have we not seen God doing things sovereignly even here? When we just get into His presence, we get into the place of rest and miracles happen and nobody even has to lay hands sometimes. I mean, God just does it. God doesn't always need our anointing, folks. God can just do what He wants, when He wants, however He wants to do it. And we just need to get into agreement with Him. Okay, Lord, if that's what You want to do, sometimes God wants to baptize His people because they need joy in their life, because they're walking around like they're sucking green persimmons, right? Sucking lemons. So God sometimes will just sweep in and say, man, my people need some joy. And it's sovereign. It's not that... And it's funny because... The preacher will get attacked for something that the Lord does sovereignly. I don't agree with that. That was out of order, brother. Say, man, maybe you need a dose. Amen? You got to get into the glory. Get into the presence. Get into that. When we worship, hallelujah, we just had wonderful times of refreshing. How many have been refreshed today already? Isn't it just... And it's because God's people come together to seek Him. It's not about Keith. It's about Jesus. My goal is to make Him known to you, amen? Is to point you to Jesus. And whatever He gives me, I'll give you, because that's how He's going to equip you to go and do the same with others, to reproduce. So you can see the restlessness of the sin nature in Abram, and Abraham's decision to have a child. And eventually, as you know the story goes, he slept with Hagar because it was suggested by Sarah that, well, why don't we just, you know, in chapter 16 and verse 2 of Genesis, Sarah said to Abraham, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And so Abraham said, "Okay." I'm sure the flesh had nothing to do with it. Yeah. I just said what you were thinking, all right? So... And they're in trouble. But be sure your sins will find you out. So, and we can learn from Abraham here. Don't get ahead of God. So, anyways, you know the rest of the story, right? We're still receiving the benefits of that unholy union to this day, where the two brothers are still duking it out over there in the Middle East. Yeah. However, God did bless Esau. And God does want the children, amen, of Esau even, because they're still sons of Abraham. He wants them to come into covenant too. He wants them to be born again. God is not willing that anyone should perish. How many know that you and I fit in the same category as the sons of Esau? We are the outcasts. We're the Gentiles. And God had opened the way for us to come in to receive the benefits that He had promised to Abraham through the covenant in the blood of Jesus. So we've got it good, folks. We've got it good today in that we are in the grace of God and we're no longer under the hard taskmaster of performance because we couldn't do it. And as long as you try to live in grace and under law at the same time, your life is going to be a mess. You got to walk in grace, walk in the Spirit. Oh, there are people that try to throw that on me. And I don't take it. I'm like, no, Christ has set me free from the curse of the law. And when I walk with Jesus, I do things that please God. When I walk with the one I love, I don't do things that grieve Him. When we walk in a relationship, it's about how we respond to one another. Amen? My wife and I have been together over 30 years now. And when we just know each other. And I know there's just certain things that I shouldn't do or say. You know, and vice versa. And we've learned how to walk together. And it's just amazing, you know, that I'm still alive today after after all the things I've done and the stupid things I've done. But
you're not alone.
Oh. Now, Galatians 6, 9, the Lord keeps bringing this back to me. Why? Because it's something that is application for us right now. Folks, when you leave out of here today, you know, don't wait to come to church to sow in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Live your life sowing in the Holy Spirit. Live your life worshiping Jesus. Live your life singing to Him. Live your life witnessing for Him. Live your life just listening to His voice and enjoying His presence. Because in due season, that means what's due you will come in its right season. Not in your season, but in God's season. If you continue to sow in the Holy Spirit, amen, you're not giving up, you're not becoming weary in well-doing, but in due season, what's due you will come back. God will give to you what's due you. And when it comes in, you're like, wow. It's amazing when you go out and you look, if you've ever done a garden that's been successful, I don't know what that's like, but if maybe you have. But you plant seeds, you know. I'm just kidding. Right, honey? Say yes, make me feel good. But when you go out and you plant seeds and you don't see anything, the ground is barren, you know. The rain packs it down. You got to wait for that seed to break up. I mean, how many know you don't go plowing right after a seed is planted, right? You plant the seed, and then you need to wait a season until you start to see results. You may well go out and water it, but you're not seeing what's going on in the invisible parts. So it is in the Spirit. We don't see what God is doing on the inside of us. We don't always feel what's going on that God is doing in us. Amen? You can't just always feel what God is doing. But the day comes, if you do not give up and you continue to sow and you continue to be faithful, you continue to walk with Jesus day by day, amen, that God begins to reveal more and more of Himself. You begin to see more and more of the fruit of the reality of the new life in Christ. And the day comes when you grow up and you mature, only mature plants are able to reproduce. Amen, to produce seed. That's what God wants. But if we do not guard ourselves, if we get into anxiety, folks, as God's people, we actually hinder the work of God. We can make a mess of the work of God if we get into anxiety. I've seen over and over where people had thought, because it was an opportunity. It was even a good opportunity, and it wasn't a bad thing. But it was not the thing that God wanted for them. And I tried to warn people. I said, listen, God is not calling you there. God is not telling you to do that. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, but it's not the right thing. Oh, no, God spoke to me. You know what? People say that all the time. God spoke to me. God's not. You're speaking to yourself. Because it's something that you think that you want. How many of us use the Lord all the time, right? Well, God told me to do that. Instead of taking responsibility for your foolishness, you blame it on God now. Come on, we say God. Like the guy that went out and killed people and said God told him to do it. Well, we do that in a smaller scale sometimes, don't we? We try to... Like I heard Chris say one time, he says, an ungodly mind will always try to justify what a godly conscience says is wrong. We got to listen. In Psalms 27, verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord. That word wait means patiently wait upon. Be of good courage. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Continue to sow. Continue to obey. Continue to follow. Continue to worship. And in due season, that which you have sown, that's what you have invested, is going to come back in the form of a harvest. But ultimately, folks, it's not even about our harvest. It's about His harvest. It's about making Jesus famous. It's about populating heaven. Amen? It's all about the lives of people. When we don't wait on God's time, we end up forfeiting a greater work of His grace in our hearts. Do you see it? God allows a test in your life. Tests are not easy. They're not fun. But they're necessary for you to be conditioned and promoted. And so God allows a test in your life. And so instead of saying, okay, Lord, I just need to draw near to You now. I need to get into the place of rest. And I put my back to the problem. I say, now, God, how do we deal with this? How do we walk this out together? When we get into that place, we're going to think, amen? We're going to know His thoughts. And we're going to be able to do what He's told us to do. And we're going to come out of it better than we were before. But when God allows a test in our lives, sometimes because it's uncomfortable. Come on, we see that with church folks too, you know. They love their church. They love their church family. Things are going well. Now there's a test. Something happens. Somebody wasn't nice to them. They didn't shake his hand, you know. That's it. I'm leaving. My question is, did God tell you to leave? Or did you just get uncomfortable in a situation and you ran out in the midst of a test that was there for your benefit?
Yeah. Amen.
I've seen where groups of people have done that. And then they'll run to somebody else that's disgruntled and we'll all be disgruntled together. And we'll feed off each other. And God may be trying to test and do a work of grace in their hearts to prepare them for something great that He has. And how many know that if you run away from your test, you're only going to face it again somewhere else? Ask me, I know about it. And it's always easier just to say, okay, hold on. It's time to seek the Lord, to get into rest. If I start to find myself getting anxious, it means that there's a lack of Jesus in me. There's a lack of peace. Are you with me?
Yep.
If you find yourself being fearful, it means there's a lack of love. There's a lack of Christ in you. In other words, you're not drawing from Him. You're not entering into rest in Him. And all of a sudden, we start to make wrong decisions because we're in a hurry now. God's not doing it fast enough. You know, I remember when God put it in my heart, okay, to serve Him in the capacity that I'm doing now as a pastor and an evangelist. God put that in my heart. It's His call on my life. However, when you're a baby, you receive a call from God, but it doesn't mean that you're ready to run and get right into that call. There's a process, and the process demands patience. You must be patient in the process. That's the name of the message. Because God wants to condition you and prepare you for what He has. But instead I can say, no, it's not happening fast enough. I need to try to make something happen. I'll run over here and start my own church. It happens all the time. And you're still in diapers and you want to go lead a church. It's true, you know. Or you get into the teenage stage and like, I know how to do this. You get cocky and arrogant, you know, and you walk into it and you get your butt kicked because you're not ready for it. So God knows how to get us ready for what He has for us. So I'm almost through. I know some of you are saying, is he ever going to stop? But I'm just getting started, but I know I need to go. So God has an assignment, a plan, a purpose for every one of us. And it's beautiful. It's glorious. It's that we might bear fruit unto eternal life. That we might bring glory and honor to our Savior, Jesus. Amen? That's the call of God. Requires you and I to be patient and to learn His presence, to know His voice, to get acquainted with Jesus so that when the time is right, you will move. When it's time to sit, you will sit. When it's time to move, you'll move. When it's time to be quiet, you'll be quiet. When it's time to talk, then you talk. Okay? Good word today?
Amen.
God is good. His word is eternal. And His word is good for us. If you receive it today, be careful of those opportunities that present themselves to you as good things, but they're not the right thing for you. Wait on God. Be of good courage. And in the process, God's going to condition or strengthen your heart. And He's going to equip you and make you ready for His ultimate will, amen, to be fulfilled in your life.